turn back with me to 2 Thessalonians. I didn't get where I wanted to. But I hope that the Lord will continue to meet with us this morning and impress upon our hearts the great need in our day. You were singing, I was thinking that stanza there, ask what you will. That's a mighty, mighty word of promise. Ask what you will in my name, because the strength of Israel will not lie. What are you looking for here this day? For what purpose did you come? Freddy was asking what it would be like to have been in revival such as Spurgeon was in, or some of the others. I told him I don't have a clue, but I know because they were in revival, when it was over and the Spirit of God was somewhat withdrawn, and Spurgeon withdrawing his congregation from the Baptist establishment there, known as the downgrade controversy, most attribute that to his decline in health. Ralph Barnard was in revival, but in his latter years, there was no Spirit of God attending his preaching, and it took the heart out of him. A.W. Pink was in revival, preached to thousands at night, but the Spirit of God was withdrawn from our land, and he couldn't handle it anymore, and he left in the early 30s, left the States because of an absence of godliness, of God attending the preaching and the services. Folk, their worst days would be a glorious time to us. But he is gone. The Spirit of God. Would you pray with me again this Lord's Day morning? Holy Father, we gather, put somewhat forth an effort physically, these have, to get here. Now, Lord, would you be gracious and enable us to put forth a more difficult effort in hearing thee and our hearts responding to thee and in us. Oh God, if you would permit, together around the feet of the eternal I Am. The aroma filled the house where Jesus was when that dear soul broke that box and poured that ointment upon him. And gathered there was a dead man that had been brought back to life. Gathered there was a diseased man. And there were those ladies . Would you grant us something of the reality of meeting with God this day? Silence our hearts, still them, quiet our minds. Lord, get us beyond this ritual that we all have become a part of and settled down in, unless you help us. Give that that the saints need today. Whether it be rebuke or encouragement. Lord, the preacher certainly does not know, neither can he apply any verses to hearts. But we look to thee. And sometimes in asking these things, we feel like the man of old. Yea, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. We're just looking for the time when you come back into the assembly. And looking for a time when the children are brought into that reality and an awareness of God being in their midst. Do help us this day. Grant liberty, the wisdom that is needed, the clarity in speaking, and Lord, even the words that you have spoken, and help these and those that will hear later, and the dear souls that can't be here, minister to their hearts. We ask in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 2. And if you go back and try to pick up any of the writings of the men of past centuries, you can't get You can't get much. I hadn't got any help from them here. They believe that Rome, the emperor, Catholicism, and these things fit in these verses that we've been looking at. But it's far more than that. Because Rome's been broken up, and the great powers dwindled down into the 10 other kingdoms, the toes. So there's more here than Rome or a religious system. Verse number 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now let it, he who now restrains, holds back, will continue to hold back or restrain until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them. There are two groups of people from here on. Verses 10 through 13. With all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive, doesn't say they receive not the truth, it said they receive not the love of the truth. Probably got a Bible in their hands that they might be saved. And when you lose or never have a love for the truth, then God will, in its place, send a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not, committed themselves unto, embraced, or held. Believe not the truth. John 2 speaks about a group of people that believed in Christ when they saw his miracles. Last two or three verses in John 2, you'll find that. But Jesus did not commit same word as used prior to them, believing in Jesus. But Jesus did not commit himself, did not believe in them, for he knew all men, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So you got the them or the they in 10, 11, and 12. And then you got the we in verse number 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. And would there would be a large number of Baptist people grasp these last two things. Unto or to salvation through sanctification. Got saved. But it hasn't meant a whole lot. I've been able to live like I want, do like I want. But I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Yeah. Then you are being sanctified. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Are you a child? And folk, I know this. I know this because Christ Jesus himself said that, though I am speaking to you about a withdrawn spirit in our age. I am certain of this fact. And I shall pray the Father, John 14:16. And he shall give you another comforter. I'm leaving. There'll be some days in your life that you would wish were as previous when the Son of God was walking in your midst. You're going to want some of those days back. But I will send you another comforter. It's necessary that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come. But I will send you another comforter, and that he may abide with you forever. I know when a child is born into the family of God, they have the Spirit of God in their soul. I know that he will never leave them or forsake them, never depart from them. And that the Spirit of God will never be, in one sense, withdrawn away from them. But he will maintain an active life in their hearts from birth to and through death. Continuing to sanctify them, separate them, and make them a special vessel to manifest the mercy, grace, and glory of God. Now, I realize that. He won't leave you. But can anybody tell me any place where the Spirit of God is outside the local assembly? When God Almighty closed his mouth and kept it closed for 400 years after the last book, Malachi, last chapter, religion continued. It wasn't lacking. Matter of fact, it was flourishing when the incarnate Word arrived on the scene, born in Bethlehem. The ceremonial laws were all intact. They were observed. But all that God had ordained to manifest to them, the substance in all those shadows, had degenerated into nothing more than what Jesus himself said, the Jews of the feast, or the feast of the Jews. The feast of the Baptists, Presbyterians, Methodists, religion's flourishing, but it's just feast days. Solomon said, the thing which has been is that which shall be. And that which has been done is that which shall be done, so that there is no new thing under the heavens, as in Christ's day, so it is in our day. Religion maintains an elevated place in the minds, men and women, the great multitude, but it's no more than a form or a ceremony. To some of you, it is no more than that. And there is no Spirit of God to present God in that which God ordained to manifest Himself. There can be a right exposition of Scripture, but most of the time it has its origin in the mind of and its performance coming from the natural ability, and some of them are very gifted orators and men in the pulpit. But it's a theatrical performance. And it leaves the true children empty. And you go out and you're almost as you were when you came in. Maybe there was a slight smidgen of reverence when you walked in, but it's gone 2 minutes after you walk out. And the performance leaves the children of God with malnutrition. But it's sufficient to pacify the churchgoers. Then the church. The words they use, biblical terminology in a lot of them, correct doctrine, but these things in and of themselves cannot satisfy a living soul. There is a place within the hearts of all the children of God that find nourishment in nothing less than God Himself. Sermons, reading their Bible, going through a form of praying, nothing. Though they are means ordained of God to get you to God, they have become an end in themselves. And you don't get to God unless in your Bible, unless in your gathering, unless in your praying you are confronted by the living God. Unless you are confronted this day and have personal dealings with God Almighty, you can't worship, and you didn't gain by your attendance here. The preachers are preaching to a phantom congregation about a phantom God, something that is apparent to sense but has no substantial existence. And tomorrow you can live as if there is no God. and feel okay with it. This God that is declared exists in appearance only . But the appearance is that which is concocted in the heads of natural minds. It is a shadow. It is a representation of that which is only theoretical and impersonal. Look with me to Hebrews 10. You were here, well, in Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 10, and I want you to, when we turn away, keep your finger here. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 1. For the law, having a shadow, God wasn't talking. Jesus was born in the darkness of Israel's long night when the sun of righteousness had set and had not risen. And Nicodemus came to Jesus by night because there was no light in Israel. Oh, there was a little in the dwellings of Simeon and the dear saint that waited at the temple to see the Lord. A little light. John's dad went into the temple to perform his duties, and there he met an angel. Little light. Not much. None in Israel. Law. In our day, it's a Bible having a shadow of good things to come. And not the very image of the thing. And never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. The sacrifices and the ordinances, it reflected substance, but they had no reality in them, per se. There was no reality in killing a lamb, catching its blood. Striking a little post. Or the right ear, toe, right thumb. Wherever they sprinkle it. No substance in that. And if they didn't have the Spirit of God, they just go down there killing a lamb because God told them to. But if they had the Spirit of God, they saw Christ. They had Him put up for 14 days. They became acquainted with the lamb that was selected out of the flock. They saw Him. When they killed it, they saw Him when they sprinkled the blood. Why do you think David cried, "Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me"? Psalm 51. Because without the Spirit of God, these things, it was just a shadow. And church goers today have nothing more than that. 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15, verse 20, Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed. I've done everything God told me to do. But I saved the best sheep and the oxen. But the reason I saved them was I wanted to give them back to God. Verse number 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Yeah, you obeyed partially, and in your disobedience, you excused that as having something to present to the Lord. And Samuel said, Saul, all you've ever brought to God was sheep and oxen, but you never saw anything in them. I know on two occasions, possibly three, recorded in Scripture, that Saul, the reprobate, first king of Israel, prophesied. I know that the Spirit of God came upon him, and he preached, and the saying went throughout the land, is Saul among the prophets. He had the same spirit as the true prophet of God. But he lost him. You're living in a reprobate age. Hebrews 10, the apostle makes reference to Samuel's words. Hebrews 10, verse number 8. And when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not. But God's the one that ordained them. Yeah, but unless they had the Spirit of God interpreting, unless they had the Spirit of God making substance out of that which was but a shadow, it was nothing more than a feast day. Burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Didn't do anything to God when they slew those sheep and bulls. And it didn't do anything for the ones that slew them. No more than going to church does for you. Unless you have the Spirit of God. Back to the Old Testament too, and I'm not going to weary you with many more. Isaiah 1, verse 11. Question from the Lord. To what purpose you think you might hear God in your soul asking you, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I'm full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beast. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of goats. But Lord God, thou art the one that ordained those means. Yeah, but Israel, grieving, vexing the Holy Spirit of God, you lost Him, and therefore you lost the substance that was contained in the shadow. Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66 and verse number 3. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. Dog and a hog are unclean animals. And God said that Israel's killing lambs, and all they do is cutting off dogs' heads. And they're offering oblation, but all it is swine's blood. Nothing there. But what do you think in Genesis, when Noah stepped off that ark onto that dry ground, and he took of those clean animals, and he offered them to God, and it is said, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, a sweet aroma. And Noah didn't do anything more than Israel was doing when Noah offered those animals to God for a sacrifice. And yet in one, God smelled an aroma. And in the other, God said, you might as well be killing dogs and hogs. Same animals. Same sacrifice. Different results to God. That's what you ought to be concerned about being here today. When we don't have the Spirit of God and we're trying to take care of our duties unto God and before God, then the very means that God has ordained become an offense to God. Can you believe that we could be an offense to God even in gathering? So the preachers today speak to a phantom congregation because as they speak to those within, they are talking about all those that are without. And all those that are without are great sinners, but all of us in here, while we are pleasing unto the Lord, and we are somewhat righteous because we are faithful to the Lord. And all those out there, for the most part, they need to repent. And he preaches to those within about the great sins of those out there. And everybody within leaves feeling somewhat comfortable in their condition. And he speaks about a theoretical and an impersonal God. And in the place of God, he has substituted his theological ideas. And they're full of religious notions but they don't have an encounter with God. Now, some of you would be more excited here if I was a little more animated this morning. Some of you would think the preaching was better if there was more seemingly of me in it. That's not the thing that's important. The only thing that's relevant here is that you encounter God. Moses at the bush took his shoes off because he's on holy ground. And Joshua took his shoes off when he found out that that man with the drawn sword was the angel of the Lord. He took his shoes off, and men and women throughout the old economy, when they met God, it wasn't a God they had formed. Listen to the language of Elijah. As the Lord God of Israel liveth. How do you know, Elijah? Well, the book. Wait a minute. There's very little of the book. And you're the only prophet that you know of. And yet you're saying, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. How do you know? And Abigail came to David and she caught his attention with two things. David, before you proceed on with this murder in your soul, I want you to think about this. As the Lord God liveth. You left him at home in your closet. When you girded on your sword. And David, I want you to bring back to mind as best you can the reality that God is alive right now. And one more thing, my Lord, she called him. As thy soul liveth. Now Saul's reprobate, and the only assurance that you will maintain in your soul that you are not a reprobate is that the Spirit of God abides with you, dwells in you, and continues there throughout the days of your living. John 15, maybe the last one. Folk, if there's the least bit of gray matter remaining active, you've got to admit God's gone. The Spirit of God is withdrawn. But it's not bothering us too much. John 15:26. But when the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Another place in John, when the Holy Ghost comes, when he gets on the scene, he shall testify of me. He'll bear witness. He'll take the things that he's heard and he will make them known unto you. And he'll take the things that he knows of me and he'll make them known in your soul. Whatever Christianity is, as much as it has degenerated in our day, whatever it is, I am certain of this fact, that there is in every Christian's life an arresting, a silencing, and a life-changing encounter with God. It's not happening. And those that say they encountered God yesterday, you might see them again, and you might not, you might hear from them again, and you might not. When I depart, I'll send the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. He'll teach you all things. Have you ever met God? I mean, really, folk, have you? God didn't send me to preach to those folk out there, but here to you. I could get a copy, anywhere from $50 to several hundred, of Rembrandt's painting of The Return of the Prodigal. Or his painting of the disciples at a meal at Emmaus. He also painted The Last Supper. But I could get a copy of the original artist, Da Vinci. That's all it is. It's a copy. It's not real as far as coming from the hand of the painter. You've got a Bible in your hand, but all you've got is a copy of the Word of God. And I fear a lot of folk, they read about the experience of Moses and of Joshua, of Isaiah, they read about the experiences of Paul, and they think that because they have read about that, that that is their experience. Children, there's no dealings of the Holy Spirit of God outside. That's why the world is increasing in ungodliness. And that's why religion is flourishing, but it's being built around and upon people that haven't met God. When He's come, He'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He'll take the things of Christ and show them, reveal them unto you. No spirit. Now that puts you in a precarious situation. Maybe my mom won't hear this because it offends her if you ever mention anything. But I had to make several trips with her to Birmingham when they were putting shots in her eyes. And on one trip back, she felt well enough that she wanted a hamburger. And I stopped and I got her one. And she ate, I don't know, a fourth of it. And she broke off the rest of it and said, "Do you want this?" I said, "No." "Well, I'll just take it home and put it up. Don't want to throw it out." And I thought, if that was my boys or your children, they would eat 3 or 4 bites of it and they'd throw it away if they didn't like it. But she came through the Depression and didn't have a lot. And what she did have, she took care of it. Now, do you get the point here? We don't have much of the Spirit of God. You better take heed how you treat Him. For if you have little, but the little that you have is important, then you will cherish the little that you have. We don't have much. Then why would I ever do anything that might grieve Him? Why would I ever knowingly and willingly offend the Spirit of God? He will withdraw. He will quit manifesting Christ. And though I can feed and feed and feed upon shadow, it's like somebody dreaming and he woke up and he hadn't eaten, but he dreamed that he ate. Or it's like some hungry soul getting ashes and eating them, but they didn't have any nutrients for his soul. The preacher can't make these things experiential to you. He can't make substance out of shadow. He can't make living dead words in a book. And he's your best friend. And he's a treasured possession that God thought enough of you that he would impart a part of him in you. And yet we live as if there is no spirit. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, Paul said, Romans 8, he is none of his. Let me give you another verse that he left. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, no more these are the sons of God. I spoke to you Wednesday night on Come and Let Us Return. And I'll leave you this morning with, I hope, somewhat of a searching heart as to your treatment of the Spirit of God. And taking heed that in no thing you offend Him. You don't have anything if you don't have the Spirit of God. I don't care how many 52 Sundays out of the year you're sitting on a pew. And 365, 366 in leap year, you're reading your Bible. I don't care. It doesn't matter. If you don't have the Spirit of God, all you got is a shadow. And the very thing that you're counting righteous may be an offense in the nostrils of God. Children, it's time we got a little serious about this condition in which we live. And do all we can to enhance the workings of the Spirit of God in our soul. He is gone. He has departed. What about you? Saul got rid of all the witches. But because of his sin against the Holy Ghost, he lost God. And he ended up hunting a fortune teller. God wasn't talking. And he needed to hear from God. Went down to the witch's house. And with powers from the devil, she called up a being that looked like Samuel. And rebuked Saul, "What do you mean, disturbing me? God's departed. He won't ever be back. He won't ever be back." And all the information you get from here on will be from demons. God help us, children. God, have mercy upon all of us and keep us in the way.